Praise the Lord. The very last part of that song says, our God is able to deliver thee, over and over again in that chorus. Our God is able to deliver thee. Today, if you have your Bibles, please keep them open to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. We're going to go right through Psalm chapter 40. And the theme of the message is going to be the theme of that song. Our God is able to deliver thee. Our God is able to deliver thee. Last month, if you were paying attention to the news at all, maybe if you watch the news or watch any of the national news, the very end of May, there was a story about a three-year-old child that crawled underneath a barricade into a zoo enclosure where there were some gorillas. 400-pound African silverback gorillas. The little kid fell into the moat where that was supposed to separate the people from the gorilla enclosure, and the kid crawled under it, fell into the moat, and immediately the gorillas knew, and one of the gorillas came down into the moat and was dragging that child back and forth through the moat. It's on video. Someone pulled out their cell phone. Obviously, in today's day and age, if something like this happens, everybody knows to pull out their phone and video quick tape it. So if you were watching the news, maybe you can check it out later this afternoon, but you can see the video. And you can hear the child crying. You can hear the mother trying to comfort the child by saying, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And can you imagine that being your child? I looked at that video and I heard that story and I just think of my son, Kenneth. My son is two. This kid was three, just a year older. And he was face to face with a 400-pound gorilla. Nobody to help. Looking right into the eyes of a gorilla, and the gorilla is just looking at him, dragging him back and forth through the water. This kid was in a situation that I believe we've all been in our lives. Not physically, no. I don't think anybody in here would say, oh no, I've been face to face with a gorilla. I've been face to face with a lion. If you had, please come talk to me after the service. I'd like to hear that story. But spiritually speaking, I know myself personally, I've been in that situation. Whether it was from my own fault of my own, someone not watching me, and I got tangled up into a mess that there was no way out. And I was getting dragged around by a spiritual devil, a spiritual gorilla of sin, or whatever it may be, and I was getting tossed around and there was no hope. I thought of that story and I thought of my son, Kenneth. I thought of the little kids that are around here. I think of some of the little kids that come on the buses and I think, man, what would I have done? What could I have done against a gorilla? There's no chance. The end of the story is a good one. They ended up saving the child. The gorilla ended up having, it got shot and they were able to save the child. But can you imagine the stories that little kid is going to be able to tell? Can you imagine the mom? Can you imagine the stories, man? When he gets up, when he becomes 10, 12 years old, he's going to see that video and say, man, I was face to face with a gorilla. And I'm here to tell about it. I'm here to tell about it. Today we're going to go through Psalms. Psalm chapter 40, written by King David. King David was face to face with a lion. King David was face to face with a bear. King David, as we know, was face to face with the giant Goliath with just a sling. Here's a man that faced a similar circumstance, and I want to show you what he did. So as we look at this passage of scripture, I want us to think about this topic of deliverance and knowing that our God is able to deliver. Let's pray and we'll get into Psalm chapter 40. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for giving us the hope of deliverance. Thank you for the hope of salvation and for sanctification. Father, I pray that you would deliver us from our troubles, from our sin, from our enemies, all the things that come against us in our day and age. Father, I pray that you would help us to reach out today to you, the only one that can help us, the only one that can deliver us. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My profession as a chemical engineer, my title is process engineer. You say, what does that mean? I'm a glorified recipe maker, okay? I make up recipes. I decide how long we need to put things in the oven, technically speaking. I decide kind of how long we need to mix things and how long we need to let things work and so forth. So I kind of make recipes. So when I see certain things in the scripture, I see certain principles, I always try to make it into a process. What are the steps that we have to take? And when I see the first couple verses of Psalm 40, I see the process of deliverance. If you're following along in your notes, number one is going to be the process of deliverance. Number one, the process of deliverance. And under that, letter A is going to be pleading with patience. Pleading with patience. Look at verse number one. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I was in that pit. I was in a problem. I was in a terrible tribulation or trial. And you know what I did? He cried out. He cried out. Just like that little boy that was tucked in the enclosure, you know what he was doing? He was crying. He wanted someone to help him. He wasn't just sitting there face to face with a gorilla. No, he was saying, Mom, please help me. He was crying. He's saying, man, this is a big gorilla. That gorilla could have killed him at any instant. He cried. He realized, David realized how desperate his situation was. And he cried out, but not only did he cried out, but he said he waited patiently for the Lord. Now we think about our trials and tribulations and the things that we're going through. Man, we want to get out of them immediately. Man, I'm going through a trouble. Man, God, please help me. Get me out today. Get me out right now. But you know what? The Bible says that some of our trials work patience. Some of our trials work patience, and they allow us to grow, and they refine us and make us to be better Christians. And as we cry out and say, God, please help me today, I need to get through this, he's hearing you, but realize that we have to be patient. We'll have to be patient. We'll have to wait for God's timing. We'll have to wait for God's will, because maybe God wants you to go through that to say to somebody else, hey, you know what? You can make it too. You can make it too. Man, I've been through the ringer. I've been through this sin. I've been through that sin. I've been through the consequences of those sins. And you know what? We can tell somebody else and say, you know, hey, because I went through that, because God allowed me to go through it, you know what? I can help somebody else. We have to be patiently pleading to God. The mature Christian has learned to be patient with God. When I think about my son, Kenneth, he's always crying about something. He wants to get his trains out of the out of the closet. He's crying like it's the end of the world. I want my train. And I'm like, Kenneth, you got to wait for your train. To him, that's a tribulation. To him, that's a trial. He wants the train so bad that he can't get it. But I say, you have to wait. He doesn't know patience. And I fear sometimes as Christians, we do that same thing. We cry and we cry and cry. And we wonder why God's not giving it to us. And God's just saying, hey, I'm trying to teach you patience. I'm trying to teach you patience. David learned patience. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, or he listened. He bent down and listened, and he heard my cry. That's what Jesus wants to do for all of us today. He wants to hear our cry, but we have to let it out. We have to realize our situation. Man, if you're caught up in some sin, if you're caught up in some circumstance, and you think you can't get out, we need to let the Lord know about it. We need to cry out and wait with patience. The second thing I see in verse number two, I see, write this down, letter B, up, out, and on. Up, out, and on. This is the process of deliverance. First, we have to plead with patience. We have to cry out, and then we see God bring the deliverance. The Bible says right here, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I love that verse. That verse, when I think of that verse, that I think of myself. I think about how God brought me up also out of an horrible pit, the pit of hell, the pit of sin. Whatever it may be, he brought me up out of that. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, a solid rock. Man, I don't know if you guys ever seen anybody messing around with quicksand, but quicksand will take you right down. That's what I think about when I think of the miry clay. You're just stuck. You're trying to squeam. You're trying to squirm. You're trying to kick. But all that does is just make it sink faster. And you just start going down faster, faster and faster. And there ain't no way out of quicksand unless you get somebody to throw a lifeline out to you and pull you out. That's what I think about when I think of this miry clay. And I think about some of the situations that I've been in. Some of the different things that maybe you've been through. And you think, man, I can't get out of it. I'm in a horrible pit. I'm stuck in this sin. It's just, I try to get out of it, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm kicking, I'm screaming, I'm crying, and I'm not making any progress. You know what we need to do? We need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. Maybe God's saying, hey, you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to get out yourself. He says, I'm right here. Reach out to me. Reach out to me. Here's the lifeline. You keep trying to go by yourself and you're just going to sink deeper and deeper. He says, reach out. Cry out to me. He brought us up out of the horrible pit, up out of the miry clay, and then he sets our feet upon a rock, a solid rock. Man, I love that feeling. Man, when God brings deliverance in a certain area of your life and you can just get the complete victory over it, and God says, hey, here you are. Now you're settled. That's where you were, but now I'm pulling you out of that, and this is where I want to put you. This is where I want to put you. Man, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ will never falter, will never fail. That's where God wants to put you today. He wants you out of that miry clay. He wants you out of that sin. He wants you out of that circumstance. But we got to cry out to him. We got to cry out to him. We're not going to do it on our own. It's a work of God. The very first word in Psalm 40, verse number 2, he says, He brought me up. You didn't bring yourself up. He is the one that brings us up. He is the one that establishes our going. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Letter C, if you're following along with your notes, letter C, write down power in praise. Power in praise. You see, what happened was David realized that when he was in sin, when he was in trouble, he cried out to God. He waited patiently for God. And then when God decided that it was his timing to deliver him, he brought him up out of the horrible pit. He brought him out of the miry clay, set his feet upon the solid rock on the firm foundation. And then you know what he did? He put a song of praise into his heart. He put a song of praise into his heart. And there's power in that praise. You know what happens when we praise the Lord for what God has done for us? I'll show you. Verse number 3, at the end of it, it says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. You know what happens if you just have some joy about yourself and you praise God every day of your life? People might actually think that you believe what you say you believe. People might think that, oh, maybe God is real. Maybe what they have is real. Maybe they really have been delivered, and maybe I can have it too. The Bible says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord if we praise him as we ought to. But God will put that into us. I'm gonna ask for a volunteer. T'Shawn, can you help me? Can you help me? Come on, man. Come on, help me out. Help me out. That's my friend T'Shawn. You don't have to do anything. You won't have to say anything. I just need you to be my example. This is T'Shawn, my friend. I'm going to say, let's say hypothetically, it's my friend T'Shawn. He saved me and my entire family from a burning building. He saved me, my son Kenneth, my baby Michelle, my wife, everybody, carried us all on his back and carried us out of the building. This is hypothetical. This really didn't happen. Okay, this really did not happen. You guys didn't know that? Okay, sorry. This has not really happened. This is an example. And now I'm going to walk down the street and I'm going to see T'Shawn. This guy just saved my whole family, me, everybody. And I'm going to walk down the street by T'Shawn and I'm going to do like this. Oh, what's up, man? Just saved me. Just saved my entire life. And I'm going to walk right by him like he's just any old anybody. No, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk down, and I'm going to see T'Shawn about 10 feet away, and I'm going to say, man, T'Shawn, what's up, man? What's up, man?
Man, you saved my family.
Man, you want to go out to eat? Man, let's go do something. Let's go. Thank you. That's all I wanted. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him something. I'm going to want to do something for him. Man, he just saved my entire family, my young son, my young baby, everybody, and I'm just going to walk by him like nothing happened? Treat him like he's just anybody old else? No, that's not what I'm going to do. Jesus Christ, man, delivered me from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ delivered me from my sins. And then I'm going to treat the Bible like it's just any old book. I'm going to come to church just like it's any old place. No. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to let God know that I love him. When we get up and we sing the doxology, I'm going to say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'm going to praise God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Man, there's power in praise. There's power in praise. The power in praise is that many other people will see your praise and maybe they'll get saved. They'll get saved. We treat church just like it's any old place. People are like, oh, that ain't real. Never read your Bible. Never praise God. People are saying that's not real. But man, when you praise God and you come home and you're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. And you're singing your songs and you're glad that you came to church and you understand what God did for you, man. Other people's lives will be changed because of what God had done for you. Number one, I said, that was the process of deliverance. If you're following along, you got all three, A, B, and C. Number two, recognition of deliverance. This feeds right in from that last point. We need to have a recognition of what this deliverance is. We need to have a recognition of this deliverance. And if we look down in verses 4 through 6, I'm going to read through them. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Look at verse number 5. Many, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The blessings of God, innumerable. He says there's many wonderful works. All these different things that God has done for us. He's delivered us. He's given us blessings. He's given us life. He's given us a good church. He's given us faithful bus captains. He's given us faithful Sunday school teachers. All these things, faithful parents. He's given us all these things. But look at verse number 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Letter A, write this down. All by grace. All by grace. All these blessings that David's talking about. All these things, all these many wonderful works that God had done for David. And then he says, and you didn't desire any sacrifice for it. He said, and there was no offering required. He said, you didn't have to pay for it. He said, this deliverance that you brought me was free. The deliverance, the blessings, they were free. All by grace. If you've ever heard of the acrostic for grace, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Maybe you know another one. If you know another one, let me know. The acrostic for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid for it all. And by grace are we saved. He says, you don't have to pay for it. It's not of your works. It's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to deliver yourself. It's all by grace. All by the grace of a God that I'm saved, that anybody's saved, that anybody gets blessings from God. It's all by grace. Now, there's some people that'll take you somewhere. There's some people in your life that'll take you somewhere, but they'll want something in return. Young ladies, young boys, there's people that will take you places that will want to do things with you, but it'll cost you something. You can take a taxi cab. Hey, can you take me down to the airport? They ain't giving you a free ride. You're going to have to pay when you get there. You can take an Uber. You can even take an ambulance. If you get hurt and you're like passed out unconscious and you need an ambulance to come take you somewhere to the hospital, you better believe they're going to give you a hospital bill, an ambulance bill. The very ambulance that's supposed to be saving you. They're going to charge you for that ride. But Jesus Christ said, you know what? I'm going to pay for it all. On the cross of Calvary, I'm going to pay for it all so that you can go free. So that when you need deliverance from that sin, from that circumstance, whatever it may be, I want to give you a free ride to the solid ground. I want to give you a free ride out of that miry clay. You don't have to pay for it. Sacrifice, offering, nope. It's free. God's grace. God's grace. The recognition of deliverance, first we must recognize that it's all by grace. Secondly, or letter B will say, write down this, returning the blessing. returning the blessing. In recognition of our deliverance, we ought to return the blessing back to God. We ought to return the blessing that God has given us back to God. Look at verses 7 through 10. This is awesome. I love this. I love what David says here. He says, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest." He said, I didn't close my mouth. I didn't go like this. Hey, you know anything about Jesus? Hey, you go to church? No, he said, I didn't refrain my lips. I opened them up. I let people know. He said, I preached righteousness to the congregation. I didn't hide it from anybody. I let everybody know that I could. Verse number 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. There's too many of us that are undercover Christians, is what we called it back at home. Undercover Christians. Nobody knows that you're a Christian. You come to church every Sunday, you ride the bus, but you're an undercover Christian. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows. You're like secret agent, 007 Christian. Nobody knows about it but you. That's not what David said. David said, I delighted to do God's will. He said, I hid these things. I didn't hide this thing in my heart. I let other people know about it. I shared it. By returning the blessing, we can recognize our deliverance by returning the blessing by sharing our testimony. Sharing our testimony. Sharing God's graces with other people. And then letter C, prayer for preservation. Prayer for preservation. If you're following along, prayer for preservation. Look at verse number 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Preserve me. You know what happens when we get delivered? That's not the end of it. God saved you from some sin or some circumstance, whatever it may be. He saved you from he saved your soul from hell. You know what that means? You're good to go for the rest of your life. No. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need deliverance again. And that's why David cries out right here. He says, he understands that this ain't the end of it. Just because he faced the lion didn't mean that that his deal was over with. No, he still had to shepherd those sheep. And you know what came after that? A bear. Can you imagine David? Out in the wilderness, taking care of his sheep, he just fights off a lion. Can you imagine? Okay, man, if I fight off a lion, I'm like, man, I don't have to worry about anything else. I just fought off a lion. I'm good to go. And then however long after that, a bear comes. And you're like, God, I just fought off a lion. Why did you send a bear my way? He said, because I got something bigger for you later that you're going to have to fight off too. God doesn't just throw one battle at you and you get over it. He delivers you from that and then you're good to go the rest of your life. No, sir. No, ma'am. I think about this little kid that got caught into a gorilla pen. That kid, he probably will seriously never face anything worse than that gorilla. But he'll still have to be watched out for. When he gets ready to cross the street, his mom is still going to have to say, hey, don't cross the street without looking both ways, because he might get hit by a car. He's not all good to go just because he got delivered one time from the mouth of a gorilla or from the hand of a gorilla. No, no, no. He needed preservation. And that's what David is saying. He says, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, Lord. He says, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. He says, man, put a shelter over me. Preserve me. I know something else is coming. Preserve me. And that leads us to number three. If you're writing it, if you're following along the notes, number three, continuing deliverance. Continuing deliverance. Deliverance doesn't end at salvation. Deliverance doesn't end at the one sin that maybe you've got over. Because no one's perfect in here. I can tell you of sin after sin that God has brought me deliverance from, but you know what? There's still sin in my heart. There's still sin in my heart that I need deliverance from. And there's sin in all of our hearts that we all need deliverance from. And you say, man, what sin do I need deliverance from? All the sins that are in your heart. Whose sins are the worst? Yours. Not mine. I need to worry about my sin. And you need to worry about your sin. No one's sin is worse than another. We need to take care of our own sin. And we need to say, you know what? My sin, I need to be delivered from. My sin is miry clay. My sin is a horrible pit. And I need deliverance from it. I need deliverance. We got to cry out to God. It doesn't end at salvation. He says this. He says, preserve me, God. He says, preserve me, God. And then he goes into verse 12. And here, this is why he says it. He says, I need that preservation. I need your truth. I need your loving kindness. I need all these things to encompass me and preserve me. Why? Listen to this in verse number 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. He says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. David was in a terrible situation. He understood that around him there was evil surrounding him all about. He said, there is sin, there's evil all around me, there's sin within me. He says, my heart is failing. Verse 13, he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Make haste to help me. Here's David. His heart cries is, God, there's so much sin, there's so much evil surrounding me. My own sin inside of me is eating me up. My heart is failing. The evils are innumerable. I can't even count them. He says they're more than the hairs on my head. It feels similar to you? You look around our nation, you look around our city, you look around our neighborhoods, and man, you just look around and you feel like, man, evil is just encompassing us everywhere. Evil surrounds us every day. Everywhere you go, evil is surrounding. It's getting spewed out from our television sets, from the music, radio, all these different things. It's just encompassing. No matter where you go, you can find evil that's just surrounding you. And then, turn around and think about the sin that is eating away at the inside of you. You say, man, how do we... It seems hopeless. David said his heart was failing within him. He said, man, it just seems hopeless. He felt like that little kid in the gorilla pen. There's no way out. I'm getting tossed around. But then he cries out to God. He says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. He says, hurry, please, I need your help. He's saying the walls are closing around me. And on the inside, I'm getting eaten up by my sin. Lord, make haste. We need to have continuing deliverance from evil and from sin. As Christians, man, maybe you've been delivered. Maybe you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, but I fear too often we toy around with sin. We think, I'm saved, man, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Got a mansion being prepared for me. Glory, glory. But then we toy around with sin. We toy around with sin. We think we've been delivered. We've been delivered from the pit of hell, but God wants something more than that with your life. God wants more than you to be saved from hell. He wants you to do His will. He wants you to have the abundant Christian life, but that doesn't happen when we toy around with sin. When we think, ah, it's okay, I'm saved. I know this world is evil. I mean, I know I got a couple sins over here that I just got. I'm just gonna let those go. I've been saved. No, that's a bad attitude. We need to have continuing deliverance from our sins. You say, man, what is the sin that God's talking about right now? What sin in my life is God talking to me about that says, man, I need to be delivered from that? It's probably the one that no one knows about. It's probably the one that you're able to hide easily, but God says, you know what? That's the one that's going to eat you up. That's the one that's going to destroy. We need to have continuing deliverance from evil and from sin. And then you know what else we need deliverance from? From our enemies. From our enemies. There's people, and I guarantee you, there's people in my life growing up as a bus kid that didn't want me to go to church. They didn't want me to go to church. They didn't believe what I believed. They didn't like that I was getting taught the Bible. They didn't like that I was getting on the bus. They didn't like that people were trying to teach me the Bible. They didn't like it. Those are enemies of God. Enemies of God. There's people that don't like that we brought all you guys to church today. There might be people in your family that don't like that you come to church. There might be people in your family that don't like you talking about Jesus because they might feel convicted. That's an enemy of God. You know what we need to do? We need to fight that enemy. We need to fight that enemy and say, you know what? Deliver me from that enemy. Get me away from that. I need to have God. I need to have God. Don't let anybody discourage you from loving God and trusting God and reading your Bible and praying every day and coming to church. Don't let an enemy defeat you. Pray to God for deliverance from that enemy, from our evil, from our sin, from our enemies. Man, look at verses 14 and 15. David had many enemies. Many enemies. All around him there was enemies. The Philistines, all around him there was enemies. His own king wanted to kill him. The Bible says, "Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil." Does that sound familiar? Anybody in your life that wishes you evil? Maybe at school, maybe in your neighborhood, they just don't like you? I've been there. You've been there too. There's people that wish you evil. He says, cry out to God for that deliverance. Cry out to God for that deliverance. He says, God, please deliver me from these people. Drive them backward. Get them away from me. Deliverance from our enemies. And then letter C. Letter C, deliverance from self. Deliverance from self. You know, sometimes you yourself is your own worst enemy. You say, man, who's your worst enemy? Sometimes it's yourself. Yourself. We need deliverance from self. Look at the last few verses of verse 40, and we'll wrap this up. The last few verses. Verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. He says, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Sometimes we get proud. We get high-minded. We get to the point where we think we made it. We made it. We're saved. We come to church. We made it. And we think we're somebody. And we think we don't need deliverance. Well, you need deliverance from yourself. Because right when you get to that point where you think you've made it, where you think, man, I got that sin conquered. Man, I'm doing good now. That's when you need deliverance from yourself. You need to say, you know what? The Lord be magnified. This isn't because of me. This was by the grace of God. I'm not somebody because of what I did. I'm not somebody because what somebody else did for me, but for because of what God did for me. Because David realized that he was poor and needy. David said, I'm poor and needy. The king of Israel, King David, strong, mighty, a man after God's own heart, fought a lion, fought a bear, killed Goliath, fought many enemies. And he says, I'm poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. He said, you know what? I need deliverance from myself. I need deliverance from myself. I need to recognize who I am. I'm poor and needy. I'm nobody special. I am poor and needy, but, the Bible says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You know what, young person, young adult, parents, everybody in here, the Lord's thinking about us. The Lord's thinking about that miry clay that you've been stuck in for a long time. The Lord's thinking about your exact circumstance right now. And he knows that you're poor and needy, and he's waiting for you to realize that you're poor and needy. He's waiting for us to realize our condition, that we're stuck in miry clay, we're in a horrible pit, we can't get out ourselves. He's waiting for us to realize that for ourselves and to cry out. That's the process. That's the first step of deliverance. We talked about that earlier. He wants us to recognize our situation and realize that it's God, the Lord be magnified, that is up, that wants us to pull us up. We have to be delivered from ourselves. The way that we get deliverance is recognition of our own self, that we are poor and needy. We need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Don't be so proud that you won't cry out to God for deliverance. You say, man, I'm not gonna cry out to God. I can do it all by myself. I'm independent. I can will myself to do it. No. That's foolish. We're all poor and needy. You say, man, I can do it by myself. Really? You can do it by yourself, but nobody else can? Man, you're one strong person. No. We're all in the same condition. We're all sinners. We all need God. In order to have that deliverance, we have to cry out to God. And God is just waiting. He's waiting at the edge of that lamp. He's saying, hey, I'm right here. While you're swimming, you're trying to do everything you can to get out of that miry clay. You're stuck in quicksand. You can't go anywhere. And God's just saying, I'm right here. Just cry out. Whenever you're ready, whenever you're done, you cry out. He's there. He's there. Don't be so proud. Don't be so dignified that you can't cry out. God is thinking of all of us right now. He sees all the areas of our lives that's specific to us. And he says, you might be in this miry clay over here, but somebody else might be in this miry clay over here. But you know what? They both need deliverance. He's looking at the area that we're holding on to. He's looking at the area that we need deliverance from. And he's saying, just reach out. Just reach out. Just cry out. Just let me know when you need your help, and I'm here for you. Man, let's all humble ourselves and be delivered. Don't keep telling yourself that everything's all right. David said, the Lord's thinking upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Who's our help? He said, God's my help. Who's my deliverer? Who's the one, the only one that can do it? Our God. Our God. Not myself. Not anybody else. It's God. He's the one that wants to deliver us. If we're following your notes, that last one was three. Continuing deliverance from evil, from enemies, and from self. Let's pray and ask God to work on us right now. Let's close our eyes. Bow our heads. Let's talk to God here. Let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your truth. Father, I pray that you would help us all to cry out to you. Father, thank you for the deliverance that you brought us out of. But Father, thank you for also seeing the deliverance in the places and areas that we need more deliverance from, that we're still stuck in. Father, I pray that you would help us to cry out. Help us not to be too proud. Help us to not be ashamed to cry out to you. You are our help. You are our deliverer. And Father, there's nobody else that can do it. Father, we need you. We need you and only you. Father, if there's anybody in here today that needs to be saved, that needs salvation, that needs to know you as Savior, I pray that they would get saved today. If there's anybody in here that's thinking, you know what, I need salvation. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven or hell. Father, I pray that you would help them to come down and someone could help them. Someone that could show them out of the Bible how to get saved. Father, if there's also anybody in here that they're saved already, but they need deliverance from a sin. Father, you spoke to their heart about a specific sin. Father, I pray that you would help them to cry out. Cry out and ask for deliverance. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to realize that, man, it may not come right away, but it may take some time. God, you may be allowing us to go through it for a certain time and a certain season. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to cry out each and every day until it's done. Father, help us to seek your deliverance and truth. Father, I pray that you would just help us now. Let's take a few minutes here to just pray and ask God to deliver us, whether it's for salvation or for a certain area of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your deliverance, for the truth of the Bible, Father, all the different circumstances that you brought us out, that you have us going through right now, Father, I pray that you'd help those things to work patience in us. Help us to understand that we are poor and we are needy. We need you, God. Father, I pray that you would make haste in helping us. Father, I pray that you would make no tarrying in helping us. Father, please come to us, our help and our deliverer. Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we go away and help us to have a good afternoon. Father, help us to understand the truth that you have for us today and help us to carry it in our hearts. And as we dismiss, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.